Call the House State Affairs Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, April 15th, 1991. The time is 8:38. We have a quorum this morning. Representatives Moyer, Choquette, Baker, Miller, Covina. Today we'll be hearing House Bill 167 relating to absentee voting, House Bill 237 relating to state leasing of new buildings, HCR 12 relating to Susitna Basin motorized use restrictions, and we'll have a first of all an overview by the Division of Elections. Ms. Ziegler, would you join us at the table? Your director going to be here also this morning?
Our director is in Anchorage, and she sent apologies. She's working with the insurance adjusters up there with the valuation of property in the Anchorage office. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to give this overview of the Division of Elections. For the record, I am Elizabeth Ziegler, Deputy Director of the Division. I prepared an overview of the Division and a short booklet that includes the Division's organizational chart and budget for your reference. My presentation covers our structured duties, budget, and current issues. The Director's Office oversees the implementation of Title 15, the Alaska election laws. Staffing in the Director's Office is comprised of the Deputy Director, Information Officer, Election Coordinator, a Programmer Analyst, and three clerical positions. There are four regional supervisors responsible for the conduct of elections within their areas. Regional supervisors are located in Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Nome. The supervisors oversee between one and four clerical positions depending on their location. In addition to statewide primary and general elections that occur every 2 years, the Division administers statewide special elections, retention elections for the judicial system, and supervises several local and regional elections that occur throughout the year. In 1975, rural educational attendance areas, school districts, and coastal resource service areas were formed, and the authority to conduct all board member recall, runoff, or reapportionment elections was placed with the Division. There are 21 REA and 4 CRSA districts serving 65,000 voters, requiring an average of 65 special elections each year. For example, in February, Region 4 conducted a CRSA reapportionment election in Bristol Bay. New board members were elected in the reapportioned area. The majority of REAA elections will occur this October. In 1980, the Division was charged with the conduct of local liquor option elections. These elections are called whenever a petition is circulated in unincorporated communities to pose a question to voters related to the sale, importation, or possession of alcoholic beverages. The Division administers about four of these elections annually. The Division also conducts initial incorporation elections within an unincorporated area. We presently are preparing for an election in Ikigik that will determine whether the residents want to incorporate into a second-class city. Also, the Division conducts advisory elections related to annexation and de-annexations around the state. The Division budget is comprised of three components: elections, general and primary elections, and data processing. Every year, the Division's operating costs fluctuate because primary and general elections are only held every 2 years. This year, additional funds were needed to deal with costs associated with the reapportionment process, and major data processing conversion, and the reprinting of forms necessitated by 1990 court decisions. The Division also received $180,000 supplemental appropriation to cover unexpected primary and general expenses. Included in your materials is a memorandum prepared to accompany a $253,000 capital budget request. Since 1986, the Division's budget has been reduced by 38%. Due to these reductions, the Division has been unable to upgrade its equipment in its four regional offices. This equipment includes copier machines, vote counting equipment, microfilm readers, printers, and associated maintenance contracts. The Division needs to produce video training films to be used in rural areas for registrar education and voter outreach. This would improve our education program and also cut travel expenses. The first quarter of 1991 has been a busy one for the Division. In addition to our standard operations, The division is now working on the Region 2 office move, a request for information regarding a recall petition, reviewing the Republican Party of Alaska's submittal to the Department of Justice, and a computer language conversion required by the Department of Administration. On April 2nd, the Anchorage Elections Office received smoke damage from a fire in an adjacent paint store. According to insurance adjusters, all electrical equipment was damaged beyond repair. The division has moved from its East 3rd Avenue location to the 5th floor of the Diamond Center. While the region's computers have not yet arrived, the office is now open for business. On April 3rd, the division received a letter from Howard Stamen, a member of the Alaska Independence Party, requesting information about how to initiate a petition for the recall of the governor and the lieutenant governor. There has never been a statewide recall petition processed by the division, and we're currently developing an application form. As mentioned before, the Republican Party has submitted its bylaw changes to the Department of Justice, and the department has 60 days to object to the submittal. The division is currently working with the Attorney General's office on the submittal regarding proposed comments and objections. And if anyone has any questions.
Well, on that last point, I believe Mr. Cheney also has a letter from the Lieutenant Governor on that. I believe you got the background information on that, on the Republican.
That should have been delivered on...
Did we get that yet? No.
Okay. Jim Baldwin is here from the AG's office.
Thank you, Jim. What does the Justice Department actually rule on? Are they looking for something specific on a question like that?
The purpose for office submittal to the Department of Justice is to receive pre-clearance. Anytime you have a change that affects voting, you must submit it to the Department of Justice. And they're going to look at the effects on minority voters, whether it's going to affect their voting power. Is it going to dilute their vote? Is it going to disenfranchise them in any way?
Do you think they would look then at specifically the issue of voting in more than one primary? Having more than one ballot that more than you could vote? Or probably not?
Oh, I'm sure that they'll look at that question. I don't know exactly what framework they'll look at it in terms maybe it's confusing, hard to educate people, that type of thing now.
Or even the issue of voting more than once. Vote early, vote often, and plus.
On that question, may I have Jim Baldwin come up and discuss that?
If that's all right with the committee. I don't want to get real deep in this, I just...
Okay.
But that'd be fine, Jim. Come on.
I believe they discussed that in their briefing last year to the court.
Well, I can't seem to find her.
I'm, my main point there is just what kind of things we expect from the Justice Department back. Jim, you want to state your name?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Baldwin. I'm with the Attorney General's office. As you know, we're not really certain how they're going to handle it this time around. This was not a part of their submission on the last go-around for the 1992 primary, or 1999 primary. And it may have some voting right implications if it is implemented. I'm led to believe by counsel for the Republican Party that it's an optional procedure from their viewpoint. It's not something that they're going to insist upon. However, I think time will shape that opinion from their perspective. The last time around, we argued in court, at least, which is when we first heard of the suggestion that individuals could perhaps vote in more than one primary, we argued that it would tend to fracture minority voting blocks in that it would encourage a movement from one group to another, would cause a splintering of these particular blocks. So I think they will have to look at it if they consider it to be a mandatory procedure. However, the Justice Department kind of very slickly avoided that issue the last time around by observing that the state had certain responsibilities for establishing voting procedures, and that it wasn't really appropriate for the Republican Party of Alaska to submit a procedure of that type, that they weren't the actual initiating party. They somehow their role was limited, and that it would be up to the state to clear a procedure that had to do with methods for voting. So they might very well take that approach this time around by say, well, certainly we will pre-clear your associational procedures, saying who you wish to have participate in your primaries, but it's really up to the state to pre-clear how you're going to do that. You know, whether you're going to allow multiple voting or the other various kinds of procedures that would be strictly state procedure. It's essentially, in this instance, a two-step process. Whatever they pre-clear, it's going to require us to do something in response, and that'll have to be pre-cleared as well.
So they're going to, they'll just respond to that basically on civil rights grounds and minority voting, come back, then the department is going to have to say, all right, we've got this, here's what the justice has said, put together a plan on how you're going to react.
Right.
And a timeline for that is them hearing back was somewhere around May, right?
Yeah, I think it looks to me as if their submission is dated March 17, and justice won't start the clock running until they actually receive it. They have 60 days to act, after which there's a presumption that everything is consistent with the law. And typically what they will do is on the 59th day, they'll send out a letter saying, it's presumed to be okay, but we reserve the right to come back to this at a later date. So they keep their foot in the door, so to speak. Then we have a period to respond. We have to submit our procedures. And we have to allow again the 60 days. So it all has to be, you kind of have to take the election day and count backwards, because you have to have everything done before election day or your election is subject to question.
Okay, Representative Shulkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you got any type of historical perspective on this from other states?
Well, we have not very much, because not very many other states have a primary that's identical to ours.
What about like it will be after the changes?
There should be some historical perspective. I mean, the problem that we have here is seeing far enough down the road with any degree of reliability. There are some really big question marks for us. For example, if you have a Republican primary that's one way, and then the Democrats decide they don't want to have their primary be consistent with the type of primary that the Republicans are going to have, and the Greens and the Independents, the other recognized parties in the state, I think it would be, I think we would have a very unique situation if we had four different kinds of primaries in the state, and I doubt that we would have any kind of historical perspective to help us deal with that kind of a situation. I mean, you can imagine that four different sets of procedures, and hopefully we can avoid that.
Jim, I'm a little confused because it appears that a party has the right to say who can vote in their primary, but it also, in a number of states, there's they do it obviously different than we do. For example, Louisiana, I think they don't really have a party primary. They have one ballot, and then they seem to take the top two people, whoever that may be. Now, are those things set up by state law, or have the parties agreed to do it that way?
I really can't answer that question. I think it's a variety of approaches. In some instances, the parties are very closely regulated by the states. And in other instances, they're not. But there are cases, U.S. Supreme Court cases, that deal with these situations. There's a very well-known California case that dealt with the amount of regulation by statute of political parties in that state. And I think that what we're seeing here, to make a long story short, is a gradual change through judge-made law of separating out these partisan political activities from the state activities and sending them on their own way. For example, in California, the case I just referred to, state law required that party chairmanships had to rotate between different areas of the state. And other types of statutes like that were regulating the actual machinery of the party. So the party was more like a state entity than it was like a private entity. And And so you can see how you can get statutory schemes that would say you had to run a primary or a party had to elect candidates in a given way. I think that a lot of those statutes are in question now after the California case and after the Tashjian case in Connecticut. I think that the parties are more on their own as far as asserting their associational rights, and state law has to adjust to it. Our law is very skeletal in how it deals with it, but it has certain important procedures. There are certain important provisions about how the primaries should run consistent with the general election. And then when you look at the history of our law, you can see what we changed from to get to where we are today, and you can see that the law very clearly requires the kind of primary that we have, and we have to either change that law or get some help from the court to change it, to get where we need to go in order to be consistent with the Tashjian.
What's a deadline for, what would you say the deadline would be for any law changes that are necessary and everything to be, have us plenty of time before the primary, all your regulations to be out? When do we have to have that set? Our primary is in August of 92. So what date would you say that we've got to know what the heck we're doing exactly and everybody else does too?
I don't know if that question should more be directed to Elizabeth than myself. I can tell you one thing, without appearing to be overly cynical about my role. The last time that I was involved in this question, I was representing a division of elections that felt that the time available between when the Republican Party convention announced its rule change and the time available for the convention was not sufficient time to make that kind of change. They, I believe, had their convention in May or April. I think it was May.
They received the word in May.
Right. And we argued that because of the nature of the changes and the fact that the people in the bush were involved in their subsistence lifestyle at fish camp and all that sort of thing, and it involved such a major change in their voting procedures, that there were definite voting rights implications, serious ones. While the federal court did not agree with those factual assertions, did agree that the Justice Department preclearance was necessary and refused to grant an injunction forcing us to implement those changes. So that kind of a time span of May preceding the upcoming primary was a problem. And I think it will be a problem again, depending on whichever side wishes to use the Voting Rights Act as a tool to prevent a change. So I think that it would be imperative that our procedures be well underway by the beginning of the next legislative session, that we have something in place, or at least a plan underway, or a bill before this committee, or another committee in the legislature to set the procedures for the upcoming primary. It has to be, I think, an interim project. I think that...
Are you under the impression right now that we will need to change the law, or do you just think it's a possibility, or...?
That's a difficult question to answer. I think you need to change the law in a certain respect, a couple of respects. And Elizabeth and I, nor the Lieutenant Governor, have been able to discuss this in any great detail, but there are a couple areas, I think, that are open for consideration. Number one, I think we need a deadline for the parties to act internally so that we can respond in an appropriate fashion. We need money for a budget. You need time to get laws or regulations in effect. There are many other things along those lines, just purely administrative matters. Putting aside, the big policy question of, do we agree with closed or open primaries? I mean, I just put those aside and leave those to people such as yourselves and the Lieutenant Governor. I don't even want to comprehend what it would take to make that kind of a decision. I think in some ways we're forced to make it by the court decisions and what the parties themselves want to do. But I think we can force them into making those decisions according to a certain timetable so that we can logically and rationally implement those procedures. The other thing I think that would be good to have, and you may not agree with it just from your perspective of how you see the bureaucracy work, but I think you need some degree of flexibility. If we could have four possible variations on primary rules, then it seems to me that the division is going to have the flexibility, most likely through the ability to adopt regulations, to come up with procedures, because you're not going to be here all the time to change the law to meet a particular situation. So it seemed to me under some carefully crafted statute that would delegate regulation-making power to the division with standards for how you do it, you know, to limit their discretion. And I have no idea what those standards would be at this time, but it would seem to me to be an acceptable way to approach it. A bill along those lines. So those two elements, I think, would be important to have.
It seems like one thing that this committee probably should have in place is some kind of bill or vehicle that we can use in the interim, even if what initially gets introduced is not really what we want, but so that we have a bill that we can hear in the interim and work with you in the interim so that we have are ready when the first day of the session starts next year to hopefully have something that meets the needs of the state. That's something I think we will be looking for drafting, Representative Kett.
Mr. Chairman, I'd surely like to have access to any type of overview you have as far as primaries in other states' laws are. Surely you've done some type of research. I'd like to see that.
We'll have legal do some research for us, too, on what the other states are doing. What do you, maybe this is back to Elizabeth, what a change like this that we're going through, is our computer system capable right now of dealing with the type of thing? I mean, we're going to have to, obviously, if we had closed primaries, we're going to have that part is already done. I mean, people's got an R or a D or whatever by their name. But yet the process that you go through where somebody's going to have to get a ballot, I don't know, there's questions I got there. Can we logistically do this with under your budget now? And
what we had occur last year was the division did not know how the court was going to fold. So in contract to our existing data vote counting system contract, and he worked on programming changes to our vote counting system, and that was based on a number of different scenarios. I talked to him last week. Now, that was a $65,000 contract to make those changes in response to what would happen. I talked to him last week, and he said that all the information he has, all the programming changes, can be used in whatever we come up with now. Problems that we're going to have, how far do we go in changing our forms, our education materials, when we go out and have our registrar training. We have to know what we're doing. We have to be able to tell them what the plan is. And that all occurs next February, March.
Any other questions on this subject? Representative Bruckner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You actually asked my question, but if I could ask something that may or may not tie in. The Anchorage Division of Elections burned down. Mm-hmm. Does that create a problem in record keeping?
No. All of our voter information is on the BREMS computer system, and that is on in the Anchorage data center. So nothing was lost there. Nothing actually burnt. It was damaged with toxic smoke. So right now, the director is up there working with the insurance adjuster to see if all of the pre-1985 records that are not on microfilm, only thing that's not on microfilm, need to be treated and then possibly microfilm, and the insurance company may pay for that too.
Thank you.
Anything else on this subject? All right, well, we appreciate the Lieutenant Governor's letter, and we do note that he has stated that we'll be kept informed, and everything we get back from justice and all stuff, and that way we'll work with you, the law, and elections to at the proper time to have some hearings during the interim and make sure we're going the right way and we're able to have a good election when the time gets there. Thank you, Jim. Other questions on the divisions? Notice you talked about a statewide recall petition. This is a new something that's never been done before, and you want to expand on that at all?
We have never received anything like this, so there is no file in the Division of Election that says how to put your recall petition together. What we've done is review the statute, pulled out the criteria, put together a draft form, and have submitted it to the AG's office for their approval. That's as far as it's gone right now. I am meeting with Mr. Skaman again this week.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. You had quite a turnover in the department. Seen changes from the way things have done because of that turnover. Probably lost a lot of expertise, people that have been there. That, you being new yourself, maybe you may not know how to respond to that because you didn't work there before, but I know that people of obviously the state are concerned that when it comes election time, I mean, that's really when they're going to tell if the department is on the ball and knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't, well, it's a little late. We're having real problems in our election process. So maybe, and this might comment on how the wholesale changes in the department may affect the department here mm-hmm. in the next year or two.
Well, there were changes in the department. That's been in a number of press stories. But I don't envision that it's going to change the direction of the division in any way. The people who are now in the new positions are highly qualified people. And if there will be a change, it'll come from the Lieutenant Governor's office. And that is in terms of upgrading the system. He wants to make use of as much technology as possible, the use of video training tapes to have constant ability to reach our rural voters, something that they can have in their libraries so that we can train more registrars. Using our telecommunications system to put together voter outreach films in rural areas. Spending money to upgrade the vote counting system that we have. It was upgraded in 1985 with the Voter Election Registration Management System, or Voter Registration Election Management System, and nothing has been done since. Some of the equipment we have is no longer made. So those are the kinds of things that I foresee.
Anybody? Can you tell me how many on your chart here that we have, how many of the people in this division are exempt? Is everyone exempt?
Everyone is exempt.
And how many were replaced by Lieutenant Governor? Now, you're the deputy director,
yes,
is that
I am.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, the director and the deputy director.
About 19 full-time positions in the division. And I would say just less than 50% are replaced.
So, safe to say the bottom level 50%, the ones that were kept were the secretaries?
Some secretaries, most clerks. Some administrative assistant positions were changed, but then people were brought over from Lieutenant Governor McAlpine's office to take those slots. It was a mixture of people who worked in the Lieutenant Governor's office in the previous administration and new people that have worked with the Lieutenant Governor in the past.
Were all four of the regional supervisors replaced?
Yes, except in the case of Region 2, the election supervisor was replaced, but she was replaced by the existing administrative assistant for the Anchorage office.
Mr. Chairman, a side note too, and in Region 3, I believe she retired.
Mm-hmm. And Region 4 retired also.
Okay.
It was an opportunity for some of the employees to who were close to retirement to use the RIP program.
Anybody else in there? Well, we'd like to meet your director someday. Just tell her that she has a standing invitation to come by at any committee meeting and give her 10 minutes to introduce herself.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you. Pretty easy, huh?
I love it. Oh, excuse me. Will you pass out our bill?
Which one?
House Bill 157.
But we'll look at it right now and see.
All right, I'll wait.
Well, let's look at the next bill before the committee is House Bill 167 by the governor. 167 proposes new procedures for absentee voting by naming personal representatives to make only one round trip to pick up a ballot, deliver it to the absentee voter, return the ballot to election officials. 167 will allow people confined to institutions to vote an absentee ballot by personal representative. We have an amendment in our packet, you should, by Representative Bloomberg. Do you have that?
No.
Does everybody have that?
Mm-hmm.
We had this bill before us last week.
It's an amendment. I've got it. We got five copies.
Dave's got all our
No, now that I think about it, I think he's decided he was going to withdraw this amendment, didn't he?
Oh.
Okay, so I'm going to refresh my memory here.
Yeah. He
what are we doing on this bill?
Passing it through committee.
Passing through instead of burning the controversial amendment.
Yeah, to listen to the overview today.
Comments from the committee on 167? You want to say anything about else about it?
Not really.
Sometimes that's a wise move. I don't see any reason why not, unless somebody else does. Representative Moyer.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we pass from committee House Bill 167, the individual recommendations ask unanimous consent.
Objections? Hearing no objections, House Bill 167 is passed. Committee with an individual recommendation, but we'll go to the Judiciary Committee next.
Thank you.
Mr. Representative Bergel. Representative Shilkett's favorite bill. Thank you, Mr. Silver.
Thank you very much. Hey, what's my first one again?
Huh? I hate these Republicans that try to close up the land to us and stuff. HCR 12 by Representative Shilkett, relating to sit and basin of the recreation area. We have a letter. I have a letter, and you guys may not have it yet, unless I pass that out, which we just received.
Hines?
No, from, yes, to Hines.
Okay.
You already have
the
that?
One that he wrote?
No, that's the one that we wrote.
Oh, I'm sorry, different one. This is the date.
This one from the committee to Hines. Thank you.
Yes, I guess the only question that I would have is the little suit, which was the only, it seemed to me that the testimony that was given in the public hearing is that everything other than little Sue, and that's the only part of the, that I would, I think I support the letter, but if we were going to discuss anything, I think other than that.
I don't believe the little Sue's on here, is it?
It said all five rivers, I thought. Doesn't it say,
Isn't there five?
Says any necessity to ban has not been established for the five rivers in HCR 12. We have the little Sue in
the little Sue's not in HCR 12.
That was the only river that there was any question,
was question.
In the plan.
And that's why it wasn't in HCR.
Okay, there were six rivers in the, I thought there was only five.
Well, maybe it's a mistake here. Yeah, five rivers.
Look, it doesn't mention Little Sue, you know.
Right. Little Sue's, there's five. Little
okay.
Sue's not mentioned.
Okay.
There's some validity in the Little Sue, Mr. Chairman, in it being kind of a target. Even the commissioner said that that it was the one river where there might very well be some questions as to the problems with both types of boats on the river. I have some personal experience with the Little Sioux also. A couple of swamp kids and some other things that have happened because of power boats. I am cognizant of the fact that we did get four people testify in the valley that were guides on the Little Sioux and the impact that it will have on their ways of making a living is tremendous. But the letter that I sent as chairman of the committee and the letter that's drafted for you by Representative Grunberg and myself, mainly by Representative Grunberg, just...
I understand how that works.
Just deals with the five rivers and does not include the Little Sioux.
Representative Breckman?
I have a problem with this letter. I think the plan, you know, from the testimony that I got, that there had been a lot of input into the plan. It was a compromise, and neither side was jumping for joy, but they worked hard and they were willing to compromise, and that power boats are used in a number of these areas if they are restricted to certain sections. And again, I think the commissioner had indicated that he wasn't ready to change the way it was set up because it seemed really workable.
Oh, no.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard at public hearing in Anchorage.
Yes, make it.
Was that
comment, Representative Pat?
Well, I think it, Representative Breckman, you need to maybe call the commissioner because he in fact is just the only question that he brought up was in Little Sioux. There, you know, he concurred that there was no reason or no necessity was given in our discussion for the rest of the rivers. Maybe President Baker can.
No, he did. He did, Mr. Chairman, make that statement in the public hearing that if there was one river within the system that it was marginal. The Little Sioux, the rest that he didn't see any public need to place restrictions on, at least at the present time, and that the economic impact on the residents would be significant.
Maybe what we should do here is send this letter out under the subcommittee chairman's name on the same stationery from the State Affairs Committee, but under the subcommittee chairman's name, since you're the one that heard it. And I don't understand all the implications on either side, I mean on both sides. I fished up there myself on the Deshka, you know, and I'm not sure exactly the areas you're talking about. I understand you're probably talking areas different from where I fished because it was quite deep water there with the Deshka, and I think the Little Sioux met.
You were close to the mouth of the Deshka?
It was where two of them came together. The Deshka, is it the Little Sioux?
Maybe no.
That flows into the Deshka. But anyways, I don't think that's an area you're talking about not having boats, because that was an area where planes can land and...
The area maybe that you fished is where Moose Creek and Bow Creek come into Deska right here, and that's all going to be closed. In any case, Mr. Chairman, it's not my intention to take up a lot of time from this committee on this bill, and I would move that we pass it out with individual recommendations.
Objection.
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, I would just like clarification on one. Grammar is on the letter, really.
Representative
Mel. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we're addressing the motorized uses on the river?
The non-motorized restrictions.
Okay. I see. Okay, because that was the question I had. The last sentence, and remove the non-motorized restrictions. Okay. Okay, I see how you're wording it, because it could also be worded the other way.
Yeah,
the
I
word.
See what you're saying.
Yeah, I just, okay. I removed my question. I was just like, I see.
Well, I think the intent always was to move this bill into the resource committee. And I personally have no objection. If this letter goes forward under your signature as subcommittee chairman, and if you don't object, we got that on here on disk, we'll just print that out under your signature. We'll send a copy along on to the resources committee so that they know what you did. And then from there, it'll be
dead.
Well, I think you've made your point, though. That
exactly. We don't need to take up any more time on it.
There was a I'll accept the motion again to move the bill.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
There's a motion to move the bill out of committee with individual recommendations. Is there objection to that motion?
Even the referral, since...
I don't know how do you waive the referral once you've already heard it.
I don't know. Heard it in the subcommittee.
And we're hearing it right now, and it's been before us before we put it in the subcommittee.
No,
had to be before us to put it in a subcommittee.
Mr. Chairman, you could technically waive the referral, but I mean, if the cleaner motion is just move it out of committee. That's a much cleaner motion. But otherwise, you're going to have to get up on the floor. And this is a clean motion the way it is.
I'm not objecting to it. I just wanted to raise the question. It sounds like it's cleaner to move it, so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel comfortable with waiving it once I've heard it myself. If you object, what
I,
we would...
As long as the letter comes from the subcommittee chair, in other words, the committee's name is not on the letter to the commission. Question then, by voting to go out of committee, we could, I mean, it's a typical page we're signing, right? Is
right.
This a claim? Okay.
And the only thing we're doing is getting it out of our files, and
right.
My understanding that's going to happen. With it, a vote of resources. My understanding also is a deadline for someone to act, and is that the commissioner that has to act? Potential
question? That's a question right now. It is a question, but it has to be if the legislature or the commissioner or the governor does not act on the plan within 100 days after it was submitted to the legislature, then it automatically becomes law.
Or regulation.
And it
it's
was
not law.
Submitted February 1st.
So they get till the end of the month.
It's about the 10th of May, Your Honor.
All right. Hearing no objections, HCR 12 is moved to committee with individual recommendations. You know what I want to look at?
See how it looks at resources. Talk about benefits.
Bring along Larry Baker with him too.
That's a sure sign.
Sure sign of
sure sign of failure.
Bucking
you to look at that.
Oh,
that's
not sailing. not that I'd stare at him.
You better make a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Staff will take care of that today. Not, they'll be up there and do it themselves.
That looks dangerous, is what it does.
Well, since we have, I wasn't even going to hear this bill actually today, but since they have someone from the court system here, why don't we look at House Bill 237, but the Transportation Committee, an act establishing certain criteria, must be considered when state agency leases involve the construction of new materials. It's based on a recommendation by the State Lease Task Force, created by the 16th Alaska Legislature by HCR 52. We heard this bill the other day. We have a letter from Arthur Snowden, the Administrative Director of the court system. Mr. Snowden, would you join us?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Art Snowden, Administrative Director of the court system. Our facilities manager has looked at this bill. I have not had time to look at this bill very closely yet. And thinks that because of the criteria which are suggested in the bill, a lot of them are vague and subject to interpretation, subject to different interpretations, which is going to lead to a lot of bid protests, which is going to cost us time and money. He has suggested to me some mandatory language to the bill, which I would pass out. And I'm not sure, I just got this faxed down to me this morning. I just got back in from other meetings. And our problem is some of the words when you talk about the various items in the bill, they're not defined very well, they're not at all. Function is the can certainly any technique which allows the different things would mean to us that we're going to get a lot of bid protests, and it might be wise. I don't know what the committee wants to do, but that I possibly can talk with the people who want this legislation and try to tighten it up to avoid the state getting into the position where every time we put out a proposal or something like that, we're going to end up with a bunch of bid protests, which is going to mean massive delay and massive costs. I don't know what the committee's plans on doing with the legislation. I think I passed out the memo to you from my facilities manager.
It's being copied right now.
And I'm only trying to save the state money, where a function in Anchorage may be a private security corridor that's needed for transportation of prisoners. That's not going to be a function in rural Alaska, where we have magistrate posts. And so we could be, if we put that in one RFP and not another, we could be subject to a protest on that. But our buildings are different in different locations. And we feel that as the language is suggested, and no one talked to us, and two of these sections involve us heavily, section 2 and 3 of the bill, that we would possibly, we could get some time to work with the people who submitted this legislation, try to work something out. It might be advantageous to the state.
Comments
from
the committee,
Representative Mr. Chairman, Mr. Snowden, Representative Baker, and myself brought up a question as to why, in accordance with the task report, this piece of legislation didn't deal with both leases and some type of an evaluation as to should the state build its own building. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments on that?
I have no comment because I haven't thought of it, and I don't know why anything is in this bill, Representative Choquette, through the chair, because, as I said, no one prior to its submission has discussed this legislation with us at all. We had no inkling it was going to be submitted, and therefore we've had no input into the legislation. And it heavily impacts us.
Other comments from the committee? Representative Beckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another question would be in my mind is, why would it have to be limited to brand new buildings? What about additions to, reconstruction, those kinds of things? Sometimes it mean almost a whole new thing. But I do approve of some added language instead of just low bid, because I think low bid has gotten all of us in trouble over the years, and it's certainly not a cost-effective way of doing things. So I'm pleased that there is an attempt to expand the criteria used, but I see Mr. Snowden's things still on there.
Other comments from the committee? Mr. Snowden, what I'd ask you to do is get with Ms. Macklin and talk about this bill and come back to us so that if there was a task force last year that did worked on this issue. They did submit a report that it seemed like pretty unanimous that some changes need to be made, and that we would like to deal with the bill if it's a necessity or if it's something that the state wants or not.
Mr. Chairman, I would be glad to do that. Now, I'm not at all certain we're on that task force, because as I say, this has never been brought to my attention.
No, you weren't on that.
And when the task force start making recommendations about branches of government, we're not included in the task force, I sort of get worried about that. I would also probably try to meet with Representatives Baker and Choquette to discuss whatever their idea is that might have a lot of value in this area, too.
Here's the task force.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it's a very weighty and powerful task force, but I would suggest that though the chairman of this committee was on it, that that it might be possible in the future when such task forces come up and we're writing legislation regarding our branch of government that we could be included. I know you didn't chair it.
Well, that would include just about every task force, Mr. Chairman, because the court system seems to be amply put apart from most agency operations.
Yes,
yeah, does this legislation.
We have tremendous asbestos problems, and I'm sure this committee doesn't want to hear about those right now in Fairbanks. And, but I would hope that we could talk to the executive branch and make sure that when they're writing legislation that affects us, that we could be included in their deliberations. And I will work toward that and try to get this done as quickly as possible, Mr. Chairman, and I very much appreciate your patience. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. But since the committee, I'm just going to hold this bill for a little bit longer, and it will be back before us. That's our objection. All right. Anybody else have anything? Next Monday, we have Mr. Keller here at 8:30 before us. Staff is reviewing some past documents and some past editorials. A gentleman did write editorials for a number of years. And anyways, if anybody has anything that an area that they would like to see covered in these confirmation hearings, I'd ask you to get also with Mary if there's anything she needs to put into the packet that she's trying to put together.
This won't be a witch hunt either.
Of course not.
It won't be on my part. But it will
be thorough,
blunt, I mean, to the point on questions that people have.
Obviously,
any member of the House that wants to participate will be more than welcome. We have received questions that people want asked and want on the record.
How many would you say?
I'd say it depends how it goes. It could possibly go more than one day. Although we have lots of time on Mondays, start 8:30 and go all the way till 10:45. So,
Mr. Chairman, in light of obviously a lot of research being done, is it possible that we could have a packet of information?
We're trying to have that done by Thursday.
That'd be wonderful. So at least we can review and have intelligent questions to ask rather than try to read and listen at the same time.
Right.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Does Thursday look doable, Mary?
Yes.
Or even Friday or Saturday, it'd be fine, just so we have to read it before we get here Monday morning.
And then the week after that, we have Mr. Commissioner Burton, and we haven't really talked about what the staff should be doing on that, but if anybody has ideas. My understanding is we also got another referral for the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. Did we get, or Alaska Public Offices Commission?
Yeah.
Mr. Jack Anderson. Possibly even Representative Baker may have some information on this gentleman. I understand that Anchorage Assembly turned him down 10-1 to serve on the transportation board up there. So look for your input there.
Are you the one? Or are you one among the 10?
That's why I'm the 10.
Well, just, you know, the only reason I say that, I have no idea who the gentleman is, but if he's turned down by that margin by the Anchorage Assembly, for the Transportation Commission, which I assume is not a real powerful commission up there. It's not my town anyways, although it's important.
I'll be happy to provide you with a transcript of that.
Could you?
Yeah, I will. So that maybe that'll...
I'd like to know.
Yeah.
I'll have them do a verbatim, because I think that gives you, probably will give you a little better reflection.
Okay, good. And Mary, let's also have for our next meeting, a review of who else we have. I think we have some other names that we talked about and maybe didn't even need to hear them, didn't we? Some other committees, some other... So we need to deal with that because we would like to, within the next... By the end of the month, have all those out of committee. Anybody else we got? Anything else? Okay, the next meeting will be... House State Affairs will be Wednesday, April 17th. We'll be hearing House Bill 55 relating to appropriation of budget reserve. HDR 37 relating to Alaska Siberia Lend-Lease Program. House Bill 20, the longevity bonus for nursing home residents, which we've had up before, Representative Sharps. House Bill 122 relating to qualifications for longevity bonus, that's Representative Taylor's bill. House Bill 257 relating to Alaska Highway Commemorative Medallion.
What are we
haven't heard that bill. There's nothing else further. We're adjourned at 9:40.
We